This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Dr. Anna McGee joins me live in studio. She's with Charlottesville Dermatology online at charlottesvilledermatology.com, and she has joined us to talk about skin cancer. And I've been telling people this is, hopefully, before you... your head hits the pillow tonight, you'll know what you need to know, the very latest about skin cancer. And, you know, I guess everybody sort of reaches a certain point where you start to see little things on your skin. You think, I don't remember that being there. That's new, whether it's a mole or something. But thank you for coming in today. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me, Coy. It's good to be here.
Now, the folks who are listening, the first thing they're going to notice is that you're not from Mississippi. So what's the accent and where are you from?
Well, I think I'm in the middle of the Atlantic now, but I'm originally from Ireland. I grew up there.
In Ireland? At what part?
Right outside Dublin, County Wicklow.
Yeah, the big city?
The big city, that's right.
James Joyce and all that?
That's right.
Yeah.
It's beautiful there.
Yeah, it is. And so what brought you to Charlottesville? How did you end up here?
Well, I went to medical school in the States in South Carolina and then continued south down to Dallas and did my training in dermatology at Parkland Hospital and then came here to work. So I've been here since the mid-90s, 94.
Good deal.
Yeah.
So what is it that we need to think about when we think about our skin and specifically, I guess everybody really worries about skin cancer. You can deal with a mole because you can always get it cut off, but skin cancer is something else entirely. And tell us, what do we need to worry about and what do we not need to worry about? Because sometimes there's growths that are just benign. You don't really need to worry about them, right?
That's right. Well, skin cancer has many forms. There are several types of skin cancer. And the most common skin cancer, I'm sure many of your listeners have heard of a basal cell carcinoma. That's the most common type. It's a basal cell carcinoma. The next most common type is a squamous cell carcinoma. And the third and least common is a melanoma. Those are the three different types of skin cancer. So it's a general term, skin cancer, but it actually encompasses three different types of skin cancer.
Okay.
And then, of course, there are lots of benign or non-cancerous growths that people get. So it is sometimes difficult to tell the difference. And that's what I do every day.
Yeah, yeah.
People come in and they get baseline checks of their skin. They ask me questions about how do they tell? How can they know what's benign, what's malignant? The rules of thumb for detecting melanoma, which looks like a mole, is that any mole that's changing, if it's changing in size or shape or color, that's something to be alarmed about, and it's something that you should go to see your doctor about.
Does a regular mole change in size and shape and color, or do only the ones to worry about change as time goes by?
Well, benign moles can change. They can grow over time, but they should grow what we call commensurately with the person. They can expand and grow with that person, but they shouldn't grow out of proportion to that person. The shape of them shouldn't grow. The color shouldn't change significantly. Sometimes moles get a little bit darker, especially in certain conditions such as pregnancy. Moles can change a little bit there. They can get a little bit darker. Adolescence can cause some darkening of moles. The hormones during puberty can cause some darkening. But they shouldn't grow out of proportion to the person. They shouldn't change significantly in color. They shouldn't develop multiple colors within them. That's a sign that we should check it to make sure it's not a melanoma.
We're talking with Dr. Anna McGee of Charlottesville Dermatology, and the phone lines are open if you got a question at 977-1070. What about kids when they get moles? Is that something to worry about? Are they getting, is that a sign of skin, of sun damage? Are they going to the pool too much or the beach too much? Or is that just genetics and, you know, the human body gets little spots on it?
Well, it's both, Coy. It's both genetics. Some people are genetically prone to getting moles. And then on top of that, sunlight will cause moles to develop and grow as well. So it's a combination of genetics and sun exposure.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the three different types of cancers that you get in the skin. Can you sort of go down that list and tell us what they look like or what the early stages look like that we should be really keeping an eye out for?
Well, the most common skin cancer that we see is a basal cell carcinoma. It's a very common growth that generally occurs on sun-exposed parts, and it is generally seen in people in their 40s onwards. You definitely can see it in people in their 20s and 30s if they've had a lot of sun, but it's generally a skin cancer we see in middle age and older people. And as I say, it's on sun-exposed parts of the skin, most commonly the face, since that's the area of the body that gets most of the sun. And a basal cell typically presents as a little shiny, what we call translucent bump. It's very often a pinkish color or a flesh color. It can be pigmented. It can look like a mole, but it's most commonly a little pink or a flesh color bump. And it grows over time, and sometimes it bleeds and ulcerates, and then it heals again. And so a lot of people come in and say they've had this sore in their body that keeps healing and then breaking down again and healing and breaking down. And it just slowly gets bigger over time. It's a very slow-growing skin cancer. It's actually a very localized skin cancer. It does not spread as a rule, unlike melanoma, which can spread to other parts of the body and internal organs.
So the basal cell carcinoma that you're talking about, if you have to get skin cancer, that might be the one you want because you could just cut that out?
That's right. That's right. It's a very simple skin cancer to treat unless it's, of course, grown large or if it's on an area that's cosmetically significant, yeah, like the nose or the lips or the ears. There it can be a challenge because there's not much skin to work with there. But yes, it's very simple to treat.
And I guess that would be one of the takeaways from our conversation today would be that you should see your dermatologist so that they can professionally sort of get a baseline of where are we with your body now, what do things look like, and then you go back, what, once a year or once every 6 months so they can look again, or you just go back when you have something that you're concerned about?
Well, we encourage people to have a skin exam, a baseline skin exam, and you know, again, there are caveats here. A fair-skinned person who's had a lot of sun is going to be at higher risk. Someone who has a history in the family of skin cancer, of melanoma particularly, is going to be at higher risk. And so we will screen those individuals more frequently. We'll be a little bit more aggressive in recommending that they come in more frequently. But generally, we recommend a baseline skin exam. And then after that, we can decide whether it's an annual skin check that we'd recommend or even every 6 months or some people I see every 3 months because they have so many moles that we need to monitor them very carefully.
Yeah. Now, what about, we're talking with Dr. Anna McGee of Charlottesville Dermatology. What about that second kind? What was that?
The second type is a squamous cell carcinoma. And it's also very, very common. The basal cell is the most common type of skin cancer, and then the next most common is the squamous cell carcinoma. And that also is found more commonly on sun-exposed parts, the face, the arms, the hands, and it's also seen in people who've had a tremendous amount of sun over the years, and it tends to present as a little rough spot, a little red, rough, scaly area on the skin that persists. It doesn't go away. It can sometimes break down and bleed like the basal cell, but it's an area that just tends to get thicker and persist, and it grows quite slowly over time. Now, unlike the basal cells, however, the squamous cell carcinoma has a risk of spreading. It can spread to internal organs, to lymph nodes, and it actually can be fatal if it's not treated early and if it has spread.
So that little red, rough, scaly patch, something like that, you want to get looked at right away?
Yes, yes. Now, you know, the risk of it spreading is small. You know, it's not as high as other types of cancers you would hear about, such as colon cancer and breast cancer. But yes, it can spread. And the risk is higher in individuals who are immunosuppressed, who have had transplants, such as kidney transplants.
Now, what about the third? Which is the most dangerous kind?
The third is the melanoma, which I'm sure have heard about. We may even know people who've had melanoma, and it's a very serious skin cancer, and it looks like a mole. It looks like a mole. It's sometimes a little irregular, and it grows over time, and it can change color over time. And the longer it's been there, the more chance it has for the cells invading down deeper into the skin and then progressing on to other parts of the body, lymph nodes, other organs. And it can be very difficult to treat at that point. So really the important thing to take home from anything I've said today is early detection is a key to treatment for melanoma, because once it has invaded into other organs, it's very difficult to treat it.
Yeah. We're talking with Dr. Anna McGee. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Without getting too technical, explain to us actually how the sun causes this to happen in your body. I mean, what's happening in your skin when cancer forms as a result of sun exposure?
Well, ultraviolet light that we receive when we're exposing our skin to sun, you have ultraviolet rays both A and B. They're the two types of rays that we worry about when we're talking about carcinogenic or cancer-causing rays. They hit the skin surface and they actually can damage the DNA. That's the genetic material that creates your cells, that makes new cells. And this ultraviolet A and ultraviolet B ray can actually damage the DNA, and then later on that damage can be presented as a cell that can't stop growing. And in melanoma, it's a mole cell. In a basal cell, it's a type of cell you see in the top layer of skin, the epidermis.
We're talking with Dr. Anna McGee. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. Steve is on line one. Steve, go right ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. You actually just touched on the UVA and UVB. I think one thing that's confusing for a lot of people is interpreting sunscreen SPF numbers. Does that help us with UVB, which is a better thing to be concerned about as far as damage to skin and changes on the cellular level? So I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
What a great question, and it sort of was on my list. What's all this SPF stuff, and do sunscreens do anything anyway?
Yes, Steve, thank you. That's a great question, and it does lead into how can we prevent skin cancer, because, you know, we've talked about ultraviolet rays damaging your skin.
And you still want to go to the pool and the beach. I mean, you still want to get out and go fishing and canoeing and
That's right.
spend time in the sun. It feels good, you know?
Yes, it does. It does. It helps to prevent that seasonal affective disorder. So the sunscreen issue can be a little confusing. We do know that ultraviolet B rays are carcinogenic, and so the sunscreen factor, the SPF, the sun protective factor that you see in sunscreens, measures the amount of protection that the sunscreen gives you against ultraviolet B rays, which are the more cancer-causing rays. So I recommend an SPF of 30 or above, and that should be sufficient to block ultraviolet B rays, and that the sunscreen be applied correctly, that enough volume is applied, that is applied about 20 minutes before sun exposure, and that if it's going to be used in an area where you're going to get sweaty, or if you're going to be swimming, that it be a waterproof, sweatproof sunscreen. So the SPF 30 should be enough to protect you against the ultraviolet B rays, and the ultraviolet A rays protected against in most sunscreens now. You have physical and chemical sunscreens, not to get too technical on you, but the white sunscreens, the titanium and the zinc containing sunscreens, will block both ultraviolet A and ultraviolet B rays. And then there are chemical sunscreens that have the ability to block ultraviolet A rays now. And so your sunscreen bottle will say that it protects from ultraviolet A rays, and it'll also say that it gives you an SPF number for the ultraviolet B coverage. You won't get a number for the A protection, but you will get a number for the B protection.
So for the A protection, it's just yes or no.
Yes.
And the B protection has levels.
Yes.
And you're saying at least 30 or above. Do you reach a point where it's sort of ridiculous, or is there a difference between 30 and 60?
There is a difference. It'll protect you, but it's not going to be double. You know, it's not a related curve like that. It will give you a little bit of extra protection.
Yeah.
But I recommend that people find a sunscreen that they like to use, that's cosmetically acceptable to them. And if they are going to be in an activity where they're going to sweat or get their skin wet, that they make sure it's a waterproof, sweatproof sunscreen.
Yeah.
And that it's 30 or above, and not to worry too much about getting into the higher numbers.
Now, I'm the dad at the pool who, you know, is like every hour, because if the kids are getting wet and they're swimming, I'm the dad who's saying, okay, let's reapply. Am I being silly, or should we be doing that? Should
No.
we be reapplying the sunscreen?
I wish there were more dads like you, because that is one problem, is that we're not reapplying the sunscreen frequently enough. So at the pool.
So don't be afraid to do that then. Go ahead.
No, I mean, usually every hour, I mean, unless there it's not a waterproof, sweatproof, probably every couple of hours should be enough. What I really encourage people to try and do is wear clothing, sun protective clothing. And there are great children's sun protective clothing out there, little swimsuits that cover the arms and legs that are very cool looking. They're like surfer suits and they give a total block. So you're not worried about reapplying the sunscreen. You're not worried about whether it's rubbing off. And you know that it's blocking ultraviolet A and B rays completely.
I remember somebody told me, though, that some of those swim shirts that kids use have only like an SPF of 7 or something. I mean, they're not really, but that's not exactly what you're talking about, right?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that, because there are, yes. I mean, if you wore a white T-shirt that was a very fine weave, and if it got wet, you would have very little protection under that T-shirt. And you should wear actually a sunscreen under that T-shirt, a sunscreen cream. But there is a number of companies out there that sell clothing that are SPF rated. They actually block ultraviolet rays from coming through that fabric, and they're tested. And they're tested for lasting after a number of washes. That's an excellent way of protecting your skin. And I encourage all of my sports patients, my fishermen, fisherwomen, anyone who's outdoors for prolonged periods of time is much better off putting a long-sleeved shirt on that's one of those sun-protective shirts or swimsuits or whatever the occasion is.
There you go. Dr. Anna McGee, CharlottesvilleDermatology.com. Well, we here in Central Virginia are fortunate that you found your way.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy
Barefoot.
Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.